Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
When you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts. We're going to open up the Word of God after we pray, and why we want to do that, so we can apply the Word of God, right? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Another new day where your mercies are new every morning. Your grace is fresh, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We want to come here, Father, and assemble together to praise you, to pray together, sing together, encourage one another for the gifts you've given each one of us by your grace, to encourage each other and build each other up. And we want to glorify your Son, and we want to lift up from the pastor on down, those who are having some health issues. Father, we pray you have mercy upon them and that you would lift them up, Father, and that they can come back and share the sweet fellowship. And we thank you for each and every single one in this assembly, Father. Thank you for the love here. And thank you for your word that we can look into to find out your heart, your mind, and your will. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be the one who truly ministers here today, and that much fruit would be produced, that you would, the seeds I would plant and that Oscar planted in adult Sunday school, that you would give the increase and growth, and your Spirit would produce much fruit in our lives. And those who will listen to the audios, watch the videos. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, today, let me see the date. We're in a new year. You got to get it. You the man. You said you was going to man up on it. You manned up for Sunday school. We're on. All right. Praise God. We're at Faith Bible Church. Today is 1-2-2021. And it's, I'm Paul Baalbek III. Oh, 22. Where's my pen? Oh, man, you saying it yet. Wait till you start writing on your checks, right? Anyway, I'm filling in for the pastor today. Keep him in prayer. And the others that have some health issues. And we thank God that no matter what, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if I didn't see or on Facebook, throw some out there. I wish you a happy new fresh year. It's another year as God given us. We're still in the day of grace. Paul says, redeeming the time, right? For the days are evil. Well, it's also the best day, the best dispensation. So let me get this thing out of here. It's kind of blocking my face. The name of my message is, let's praise, trust, and serve God in this new year coming up. Hopefully we've been doing that. But, you know, I mentioned before that I don't make New Year's Eve, resolutions. Because a lot of time, you know, you break it and then you just give up. And then next year you try it again. But I do set goals. Because I heard the Jews, what they do, it was in a movie, but I think it was based on facts. You know, we shouldn't get our theology on movies, right? But some movies might be exaggerated, but they'll be based on facts. And Jews look at their past year and the goals that they had and kind of evaluate what they did, and then they plan a new year with new goals. So this year, I hope this message that will encourage everyone out there and here and challenge myself, which is included in this, to set some spiritual goals. There's actually three that I think are very, very important, and that whether we've been doing them, hopefully we have, and that we'll just set a higher standard of growth this year. And if you're going to grow, you got to do the healthy things, right? Even a baby. A baby can't make themselves grow, but you give them healthy things to eat and drink, right? So, excuse me. There's three things to growth. One is you have to know some things from God's Word. We're talking about spiritual growth here. You can have other goals, you know, for your business or whatever, but I'm talking about spiritual goals. And so you got to know some things. And once you know them, Romans chapter 6, 11, I think, then God teaches us through His Word, rightly divided, right? So we study 2 Timothy 2:15. Everybody should have that memorized in this church. If not, you ain't been listening. Been doing a lot of sleeping in, out there, you know, or thinking about the Bears games later, you know, the roast beef in the oven, you know. But anyway, study to show yourself or thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we got to rightly divide, but we got to study, right? So when you're studying, we have to depend on the Holy Spirit to illumine our minds. We'll look at, I know I won't get to all my verses like usual, and we got started a little bit late. What time do we end the service? Because I'm usually adult Sunday school class, right? Is it? Huh? No, no, the church service is over at what? Anybody got a?
12:45.
Okay. Not really. Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll get all my verses in. praise God. Anyways, we got to study, okay? But that's not, shouldn't stop there. But we have to prayerfully study, because the Holy Spirit's got to turn that light on in our mind, that illumination, so we can grasp what God's Word means. Think about it. This is God. God is infinite, right? God is great. He's all powerful. He knows everything. And think of you trying to explain technical things about life to a three-year-old. You got to really break it down, right? And so the Holy Spirit takes God's heart, His mind, the depths of His love, that mystery, the height, the depth, the width, and the length of it, and He breaks it down to us and illumines our mind. But we got to study, but prayerfully study. So, first of all, we want to, I think this year I would encourage to really study. If you've been doing it, keep it up. Maybe study a little bit more. It never hurts, right? And also increase our prayer life. Pray without ceasing, Paul says, right? So it just, that just means stay in intimate communication with the divine all through the day. You know, you get distracted. Satan's always distracting us, right? He's a master at disaster, right? But we got to take them thoughts captives, right? Them imaginations, and, you know, he'll throw things at us, some flaming darts. So we, as we grow in this year, hopefully, even more, because, you know, if you're not moving forward, you're going to be moving backwards. Ain't like, hey, I'm neutral, I'm here. Paul said, even our apostle Paul, who's our pattern, he says, not that I'm there yet. Paul is still growing in application of God's truth in his life. And so how much more do we need to grow, right? And you know, I always say, I don't want to be the same where I was at last year as this coming up year. Growth should be something we have that desire for. And so we can do the healthy things, but it's God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, right? Ain't you glad what God began in you? he's going to complete it and finish it. And he ain't never done, because we all got work, right? We're all under construction. We're new creations. We're perfect in right and complete in Christ Jesus. But our minds still need more transforming, don't they? Renewing, I'm sorry. And then as our minds are renewed through the truth of God's word, what Jesus say, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then we're transformed, we're growing. And as we're growing, we can take others. Like Oscar gave a good message this morning about being there and loving each other. And I appreciate the brothers. He's a young blood stepping up. And, you know, like the pastor told them that, you know, the pastor's 65 now, and adult Sunday school teacher is 65. You might be having to cover more and more. You know, and he's stepping up. He's taking that torch. You know, you hand that down. You young people need to pick it up. You know, don't leave it for the old guys. I mean, I don't know who's old. You know, I don't know how old is, but it's older than me. You know, I'm older, getting more matured. But you only get old when you stop growing. You know, when you feel useless, like I'm just old. You know, and we don't have to get like that. Somebody who passed out of this world, Betty White, she was still in her profession that she was going to be 100 years old. Yeah. See, you don't have to. That's old. You know, even to me, 65, that's, you know, but she didn't allow herself to get old and, you know, thinking or feeling herself old. So anyway, we need to prayerfully study God's word so we know, right? Like Paul says, knowing this, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, right? He's always saying, don't be a dummy. He don't say it that way, but, you know, the ignorant brethren are what? You ever heard it said they're the biggest denomination? Because Paul wanted believers to get, not just to get saved. Unbelievers are supposed to get saved. But once you reach out to somebody, and we should have that passion, right, for the lost, because it's God's will that all, my brother, I said I was going to jump off what he taught. Encouragement for growth too this year and growing. God desires all men to be saved. So that's like generic, all people, men, women, boys, and girls. And then what? To come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires today the body of Christ to understand that body of truth that Paul calls the mystery, that sacred secret, that whole body of truth to the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace. And so God wants to use us, because every week, whether it's a pastor, me, whether it was Dave, or for years, other adult Sunday school teachers or different speakers that have come here, always are trying to build you up in the faith, right? And so so we got to know some things through prayerful Bible study, and then I think also just growing in our intimacy with God, to know Him more, you know, because He's infinite. And the only way you're going to know Him is through this Word. And then the Holy Spirit revealing Him to you, more of His heart. You know, I think we'll, for all eternity, be understanding His love in a deeper and deeper way, but it'll always be based upon God demonstrate His love in this. What? While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus, He died for us, you know. And it's an infinite love. God is love, right? It's just a part of who He is. And so, you know, when you see someone, whether it's a friendship or relationship, and you see these, and I fell in love with Mary's heart, my wife. You know, she wasn't really my type. You know, when we dated, we went on a blind date, but we went out a couple times, and I thought, you know, just like a friend. And I saw her heart, and I wanted to know it more. Because it's so loving, and I fell in love with the heart. And I'm still in love with the heart, you know. And so it's like, God, how much more infinite, you know, that His love. And if His love doesn't, I'm not talking about where you're crying all the time because you're, you know, sometimes, I know I do, when I get moved and think about how undeserving I am of God's love and salvation. But it's not just like that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? And it's thinking and meditating too. So we got to know some things. We got to reckon them as true. When Paul tells you your identity in Christ, that's from Romans to Philemon, then I appropriate by faith. I reckon that as true, not because I feel it. It's because God said it, right? And then, you know what that should cause? Us to present ourselves to God in true worship daily. You know, and again, that's not, bam, I got the Holy Spirit, you know, like they tell you. Seek the Holy Spirit, you know, with evidence of speaking in tongues, the baptism, blah, blah, blah. I was in that stuff, and I love charismatic Pentecostal people, but Satan is so subtle, and he really, you know, when you think of spiritual warfare even, you know, you got deliverance ministries that are out there trying to bind Satan, and, you know, that's doctrines of demons. You know, Christ never said you bind Satan, and Paul never told us. It's an argument from silence. Christians can't get possessed because they're trying to cast demons out of Christians, the demon of lust, the demon of the drugs, you know, and them are things of the flesh, you know, and Satan just laughs. But boy, when you start doing spiritual warfare, like Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, now Satan, you know, yeah, uh-oh. See, light helps you to see things, right? Light from God's word. So let's go back to, because there's, as Oscar pointed out, certain things, principles that are transdispensational. And all through God's word, God loves praise from his people. He loves when people trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, right? He loves when, out of gratitude and dependence on his Holy Spirit, that his people worship him and serve him. So let's go back to Psalms.
What is that?
This is called preaching.
No, that bang, bang, bang.
I don't know.
Lisa Nichols and them are here. That's why you heard that bang.
Okay, let's focus on the word. Psalms 146, verse 1 to 3. You see, this is a believer, even in the Old Testament, that would be under law. But there's still something that's transdispensational. We're not under law, we're under grace, right? Romans 6, 14. That's why, what does Paul say? Sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under law, you're under grace. Though there's still principles that, you know, like God's holiness and his righteousness, his mercy and his love, that doesn't change through the dispensations. That's just who God is. And his justice, right? And, let's get back to it here. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He's going deep, right? He's thinking about the Lord. And this guy got to know that he don't deserve, you know, God's mercy. Because in the Old Testament, you see more of God's mercy. Under grace, you see more of God's grace. But you see both. Because even back then, for anyone ever to get saved, it was because of what Christ accomplished, right? They didn't know it. They didn't believe Christ died for their sins. He was buried and he rose, the gospel we believe today. But whatever God dispensed to them, their instructions, and they believed that. When he said bring blood sacrifices, right? What did a believer do? He brought blood. When on Pentecost and time passed, before the dispensation of grace, right? What did Peter say? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, if somebody believed God and believed God's spokesman to them, he was preaching Israel, right, in the kingdom program, then what'd they do? They changed their mind that they realized they had allowed and asked for Christ's crucifixion, and they got water baptized as ceremonial our cleansing. And what happened? So, but did their work save them? Nobody's ever been saved by earning salvation. But God knew what Christ was going to do. So he could apply like a credit card system and give them forgiveness. But what was it? Over and over and over again, right? The atonement system. Without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness sins. Well, Christ fulfills all them types, right? And the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We know now through Paul what? That we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We know through Paul we're not under law, we're under grace. We know through Paul because Christ from heaven gave Paul our doctrine, our that body of truth that's in the mystery. We know God nailed the law to the cross. Peter didn't know that at Pentecost. James didn't know it later in the book of Acts when he tells Paul, look at how many are zealous for the law. He's bragging about it. It's only through our apostle Paul, because only Paul writes to the body of Christ. But we can learn, right? Transdispensational principles. Look at Peter. Doesn't he say the woman is the weaker vessel? He's talking about physically. Because some women are stronger than, spiritually stronger than men a lot of times. And it's a shame because a man's supposed to be the spiritual leader in a family. And sometimes it's the wife. And she has all this on her shoulders because that was meant for the man. And it causes stress. But even with in this fallen world, God can work all things through for our good, right? That's why single mothers can still raise children. That's not God's best, but they can still raise them well. Because they're usually doing a whole lot of praying. You know, when you're raising kids on your own, my mom did. And so he says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. That should be us. You know, as I was driving, I was praying for Oscar and praying for the message and everybody. And I just make up songs to the Lord. I know you don't like my singing. God loves my singing. Yeah. And I'm just like, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going, all praise to you. You know, and I start telling God about his attributes and your love and your righteousness and your grace. And that's how we should be with God, that relationship, you know. It's like, think if you're with, you know, you got a new relationship and the guy's always, well, my thing was, I'd always be like, you got pretty eyes, you know, or not, or your hair looks beautiful, or, you know, you're telling them something about an attribute of them. Mary, I'm just like, you got such a loving heart, you know. So God likes us to know who he is, you know, and we get to know about his glory, know him. And also, as we get to know him, our confidence in him, we become more confident. And when things are tough, like it was last year, right, in our country and around the world, that we can have confidence in God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we can have joy in the midst of troubles, like them verses, even in that we rejoice in tribulations, right? Trials, tribulations, because it produces perseverance where we don't just quit. When you get attacked by people because you're standing for the grace of God, you don't just quit. And it builds a character, right? And the character of Christ, we get spiritual backbone. But that comes through experience and an application of the Word of God, right? And so no matter what, when I see Christians all freaking out, you know, you go on Facebook, right? And I'm like, where's your joy? Where's your peace? Because no matter what, and Paul was in jail, and he writes the handbook of joy, Philippians. That's where Oscar preached earlier. So we can have joy and peace. We can have love no matter what, even if the people ain't loving back to us. You want to really depend upon the Holy Spirit for strengthening? Love people who don't love you. Love your enemies, because you can't do it on your own. Love somebody and forgive somebody who stabbed you in your back. Now, I ain't saying trust them. It's the difference, trust and love. Forgiveness means I release you from my anger and my bitterness, and when I want to get you back, you hit me once, I hit you three times. You know? I release them from that. I release them to God, because God can deal with them better than I can. And sometimes you become with that person very close later. You ever had somebody you didn't like in the beginning? My best friend, I didn't like him. He was a big mouth. And then I got to know him and found out he was a believer. You know, but that's when... you all right, Thorne?
Yeah.
That's when... you know, when I wasn't very mature in my spiritual walk when I was under legalism, and then come to find out he was a believer too, and he wasn't either. And we looked like unbelievers. And then we talk, and I found out he was a brother in the Lord. And then I started getting into the Word, studying a lot. I started learning how to really divide the Word, started understanding grace. And he saw me growing, and he says, "Paul, you want to do a Bible study with me?" And then his wife joined in. And from that became a Bible study at my sister's house. We used to sometime have 20, 25 people, 15, whatever. And then from that grew a church for a couple of years. All because I was just available to Lord, because I was growing in grace. And I had been under legalism and beat up spiritually week to week. So now I understood that what grace was. And it got a hold of me, got a hold of my heart. Not only my mind, but my heart. And then I just wanted to serve God, and I still do. Oscar, I was thinking, he's going to teach next week too. He's going to teach anyway, goes, because I asked him. You know, I'm the assistant pastor here, an adult Sunday school teacher, right? Well, so I assist the pastor. Well, he's my assistant. He's the assistant to the assistant. You know, he's my assistant. He fills in, and he's excited for 2 weeks in a row to have that opportunity, and I love it. And I still, to this day, love when I get an opportunity to preach. Like afterwards today, I'll be going to the rehab center, you know, and I'm looking forward to that. You know, any time to redeem this time, invest it, and God opens up doors. And if you desire to be used by God, He'll open up doors for you. But you know what? If you're just like, I'm comfortable, and, you know, well, God's not going to force anyone. But I'll tell you something, you're missing out. And there's different ways you can minister. Boyd, I seen him when I drove up today, he's shoveling the snow. So I pull up, I go, doing some ministry out there. See, just being available, even in the body of Christ, different things. And so he says in verse 2, While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. You know, it's why we can breathe. We should be praising God for His grace and what He's done in Christ Jesus for us. And look at this, verse 3. This is perfect for what's been going on, even in our country the last couple of years. Put not your trust in princes. It's not who's up there as president and who ain't as president. God's still in control. You see what Satan will do. You know, that's what you're seeing on the 6 o'clock news. Because I'll tell people, if you don't think this world's messed up, just watch 6 o'clock news. But then I say, no, don't watch. It'll just make you fearful, you know, for so many different things. But God, you know, and there's another verse, I don't remember where it's at, in the Old Testament, where it says God takes kings' heads like the stream, directing them into the ocean. So we don't see God's big. You know, that's spiritual, invisible realm. We don't see God's working, but He's working. But Satan will show enough want you to see His work. He'll get your attention on it. That's why we got to stay in this Word, right? And not only know it, rightly divide it, what else? Apply this word. Where, what does Paul say? Be anxious for nothing. Yeah, but look at what's going on. Nothing. How much is that? Covers everything. Don't be anxious or full of cares and worries and anxiety. Then what do? By prayer. Focus on God. Right? By prayer. And supplication. Be specific about what you're anxious about. What are you worried about? Bring it to God. Now you got your mind on God and you're remembering how big God is. I mean, the heavens can't hold God. You know, I think it says in his hands he holds the heavens. You know, that's a metaphor, but giving us an idea. You know, God, you think of, actually God through Christ spoke the world into existence, right? That's what you were going a little while ago. Well, if we can trust God with our eternity, right? And if Christ can just speak a world into existence, that God can, you know, you got these TV preachers that say you can do it too. Oh, we're little gods because we're children of God. So if God speaks things into existence, I can speak prosperity and I can, you know, health and wealth. And that's, you know what I tell them? Go in the middle of the street, make a little planet, just speak one little planet, and then I'll believe you. Until then, I think you're what Paul says about, he's talking about false teachers, that they teach that godliness is a means to financial gain. And they're pickpocketing people, believers and unbelievers, that don't know this word, or they know it, but they don't rightly divide it. They don't have that key. So that's why we, who do understand, need to lovingly and patiently share with believers and show them how, when you rightly divide the word, it helps to open up the scriptures where they're not seem contradictory, because God's speaking to different people, different places, at different times, right? And so let's go to Psalms 119. Verse 105. I think I'm going to start bringing a different Bible because these pages are so thin; they're hard to get. Whatever. Psalms 119:105. That's a long psalm. I would encourage you to study this psalm out and see what the Word of God will do in your life. Psalm 119. So 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Think about that now. You got to think about words, what they mean. I like you brought out this morning, Oscar. Get yourself a Vine's Expository Greek English or Greek from Greek to English, and then you have Hebrew one too, and find out what words mean, how they can be translated to give you more flavor. So let's look at that. Thy word is a lamp under my feet. What does a lamp do? Yeah, in the darkness, back then, right, you would light the wick, and all of a sudden it helps you so you don't trip or maybe walk off a cliff, right? So, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. God's word gives us light, and we can see where we don't want to go. And we can also see where we want to go. You know, sometimes there's a split in the road, right? Sometimes in life that happens. If we go this way, and I've done that. Bad choices. It's like, I should have went that way. You know. But that's all right. God can even work that for good. Because next time, when I'm at the same road, I can get on the right road, right? And he says, thy words, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That light, see, it goes before you. It's, you know, it's a lamp more for here. But now I'm thinking of like a flashlight, you know, directed out. So I can see what's going to be where I'm coming up to. Just like we know through Paul what's going to happen before the rapture, right? We know we're going to be taken out by the pre-trib rapture, right? Because the Antichrist can't come on the scene until we're taken out. We're caught up in the clouds with the Lord. So we don't have to be worried, you know, because I can only imagine, and I see it sometimes. You know, I minister a lot on Facebook, so you see a lot what people are posting. And teachers, because what's going on, it looks like Satan has set up his program, right? Where you can't buy and sell or whatever. But to me, also, what's happening, I think Satan is seeing if the world's ready. I think he's done it more than once. You know, I think you think of with Stalin and, you know, Hitler and different things. And anyway, so he might be testing the waters, but he can't bring his program in until God, through Christ, takes us out. So we don't have to fear about going through the tribulation. And we're freed from falling in the false stuff. You know, they got on, quote, Christian TV, unquote, where they're selling survival kits for $1,000, food for the tribulation period. Good old Jim Baker, who, you know, he was wearing faith before. He said he learned his lesson. I thought he did. Now he's selling, you know, $1,000. I don't know if they got, you probably buy $10,000 to get you through that tribulation. See what happens? When you don't really divide the word, you don't understand the difference in programs, right? I remember a lady who was so afraid, a young lady, about going through the tribulation because her pastor was teaching it. And I tried to show her in Scripture, you know, about right division. And she just didn't pay attention. So that was years ago. So imagine, she's probably still freaked out now, right? Of being in terror and stress about, what if I take the mark of the beast? And we won't be there. Praise God, right? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I got this memorized, but I don't want to miss a word. Where do you find out God's will? It's okay. It's a question. Where do you find out God's will? Does he speak to you in dreams and visions today? Does he speak audibly through his word? And how does he speak through his word today when we rightly divide it, right? Because we got to know what's to us. So Christ gave our apostle Paul our instructions, our promises, our commands. Didn't he say, I give you the commands of Christ to the Corinthians? And so we're going to Paul's epistles. And so we know this is God's will. Now, what's our responsibility? To apply God's will, right? It's not just to know. It's to apply it, like about being anxious. You're going to stay anxious if you don't apply. Be anxious for none, or full of care, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, with thanksgiving. Why are you thanking God? Because he's working all things for your good. He's turning around for your good. You say, well, I don't know how He's working this for, how are you working this for my good, God? I remember one time saying that. I said, I don't see how you are, but you can lie. You're not a man that you can lie. And you're faithful, and you're not going to stop being faithful with me. And so we can give God thanks. We can rejoice no matter what comes up this year. And we can go through the year with more love, more joy, more peace, because that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It comes from within. It's not, you know, happiness comes from what? It's a Greek word meaning happening. Things that are happening the way I like it, then I'm happy. But joy is not based on outward circumstances. It's the Holy Spirit producing that in you. So be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, right? Make your requests be made known to God, and then what happens? The peace of God. God shares His peace with us. That it passes all understanding. How could that be? Because God passes all understanding. The only thing we know about Him is what He reveals in His Word. And that's all we need to know. He ain't speaking in dreams and visions, and time passed, He did. Right? But today, we have a completed Word of God. And when we rightly divide it, we can know His will, and then we can know what to apply. So you know why? So we can live victorious Christian lives. What does Paul say? We're more than conquerors through Christ who lives, through Christ in us, right? Who loved us also, and he says, and gave Himself for us. So do you want to live like a conqueror or a victim? See, it's all up to us. God's equipped us, and it's not something we feel, it's something you know. All right, so here's our Apostle Paul, who's writing directly to the body of Christ. So some people just know that's all they get to, up here, right? Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So they know the verse. But what happens when things in your life ain't going outwardly? Now I ain't happy, right? But who is this on? He tells us to do this, right? He's writing to believers. You know, the word rejoice has the idea of joy over and over and over. Rejoice evermore. We should be rejoicing all the time. And we will as we apply this Word of God in our lives. That's why I said it doesn't matter what you know. It's what we're applying and what we know, right? Pray without ceasing. So see, keep that God-focused mindset. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God desires us to be giving thanks, have this thankful attitude, and out of that's going to come joy. And you're going to be rejoicing. You're going to be enjoying life, actually. Go to 1 Thessalonians 6. No, 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. Starting 5. For the hope, so in the gospel there's hope, right? Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, right? That's what remain. The sign gifts are past, outward sign gifts. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, so I believe that's talking about the rapture. Wherefore ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. See, faith comes by hearing by the word of God, right? Which has come unto you as it is in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. See, as we are available to God and we're sharing truth, the truth of grace, it's going to produce fruit. And maybe we won't even know in this world, you know, some lives that we touched, because we planted seeds. But you ever hear that, thank you for giving to the Lord, that song? And it says, you know, up in heaven, unnoticed on the earth, but heaven now proclaims, you know, talks about a Sunday school teacher, speaking of one back there, that shared the gospel, and that's why I'm here today. Different people, your friends and your families, we might never know. You know, people tell me things sometimes that I don't see for a while. And my nephew told me one time, as a little kid, we're driving down by the forest preserves, and there's a dead raccoon on the road. And I said, see that, the dead animal? He goes, yeah. I says, why do you think he's dead? He goes, I don't know. I said, because he made a wrong choice. So I'm trying to teach him about choices. I said, how many times do you think that he ran across that road? But that time, it was a bad choice. It was a bad choice all the time. But he finally got it. And I said, that's why he's dead. Well, you forget, you know, little things you share with people in your family, your niece, nephews, or kids. Years ago, when he was older, he said, I never forgot what you told me, Uncle Paul. That was a seed that was planted. Actually, it's a truth to God's word, right? Sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh, right? And he remembered that. So let's just keep on loving, keep on sharing. We're in 6:10, right? And he said, the gospel that's bringing forth fruit, as it does also in you, since you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you learn, also learn from Epaphras. So Epaphras learned the grace message, and he studied under Paul, right? And then he took it where he lived. And that's what we do. We come to church, get edified, built up, right? We study. First, we need to be studying. Don't just wait to come to church and, you know, oh, the pastor, he does all the study and then he tells me what to do. How do you know he's telling you to do the right thing? And he says, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. It's very important that we have love that the Holy Spirit produces, because, you know, it's sometimes you have to earn a hearing with somebody. You know, sometimes we want to pop them, you know, with some truth. But have you been there for them? Have you listened to them? Did you let them speak? Or are we trying to overrule them? You know, wait, what? No, that's wrong, brother, sister. Right? But have you loved them? And you know, when you love them and you listen, allow them, you know, because sometimes we like to tell everything we know, but we ain't very good listeners. But somebody that you listen, maybe what they're going through, and you were there for them, and you loved them, maybe you embraced them if you're a hugger, like my wife, I am, and my wife, or just being there, helping them, now you earn a hearing. And when you plant a seed, that's fertile soil now. But if it's just cold, hard facts you're sharing with people with no evidence of love, or if they see you freaking out like everybody in the world, you know, over things in the world, and then you tell them about how faith will really help your lives. Oh, really? Why don't you apply some of that faith to yourself? I see you more freaked out than me. In verse 9, for this cause we also, since we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. So we have to pray for each other, right? In our assembly, let's pray for each other. Daily, I do. I pray for everybody that I minister in the different ministries. Even if it's, I minister like in Pakistan once a month, but I still pray for that ministry. It's a couple there that minister and help. They go to different places with youth, but they also minister in this orphanage. And so I pray for that ministry. And it says, for this cause we are, in verse 9, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge. How do you get knowledge? Studying, right? But it's more than that. With the knowledge of His will. So you study God's word, you rightly divide it, so you learn what God's will is for today, right? And all wisdom. See, it's not, knowledge can just puff up, right? Doesn't Paul say that? But love edifies. So it's taking knowledge, applying that knowledge to the details of our life, and that becomes wisdom. You know, when you're applying it. And he says, and spiritual understanding. So where does that come from? Praying as you're studying, right? So I'm going to be ending. I just want to say one more thing and read something, a poem I wrote real quick. It's not long. So as we looked, it's a transdispensational thing for praising God, right? Serving God, praying to God. And so this year, I hope, we'll be praising God more, growing more intimate with God because we're studying His Word and we're spending time with Him in prayer. So He's talking to us through His Word, and then we're sharing our heart with Him, and we're praying according to His will because we're praying back what He's told us in His Word, right? That we're giving thanks, we're trusting in God's faithfulness. That's going to be an important one because in this world, Jesus said, you're going to have troubles, right? Trust in God's faithfulness. And then out of that, I think one of the most important things is serving God out of a heart of gratitude. That's transdispensational. What is of Romans 12? Let me read this. But true worship is what? Offering your bodies, you know, in view of God's mercies, you know, we think of God's grace. Here I am, Lord. I ain't much, but I know you declare me righteous in Christ. You can use a righteous person because in Christ, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. God can use you. And so here's, I wrote a poem years ago, The Blessings of Trials. You say, I sound like Paul in Romans, right? We glory in tribulation. Are you going through a very hard trial? It seems like a mountain, and you've been struggling for a while. You seem to feel weaker mile after mile. Then you need to hear about the gospel of grace. You see, life is very much like a race. It takes training called discipline to keep the pace. God is a loving and wonderful trainer who equips us through His Word to realize we need Him as a no-brainer. When we trust Him, we can fly like a bird. The blessings of trials is our strength. As our strength comes to an end, then our weakened heart can truly mend. Because now we're learning on Him to depend, we realize we need Jesus who died for our sins. Because we were born into Adam, our first kin, separated from God, there is a problem within. First we trust Christ as our Savior, all of a sudden life seems to have more flavor. Then God takes us deeper into His grace. He shows us He took us out of the fallen human race. Jesus not only died, but He rose from the dead. This deep truth God wants to get into our hearts and our heads. Now His risen life through His Spirit indwells within. Through the cross He also dealt with the power of sin. Now He has put us into the body of Christ, His Spirit within us full of power and might. Teaching us the truth of His love day by day, or day and night, only through His Word does He give us light. We must read it to know how to fight. And we do it because it's a delight. It teaches us wrong from right. So let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for loving us when we were unlovable, when we were filthy sinners, in Adam, totally unrighteous. There was nothing in us that would appeal and make you want to love us. You chose to love us. You demonstrated that love while we're still sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. I thank you that you allowed your Son to come, Father, with infinite love that took. And not only did he die for our sins, and when we trust that he did it for us personally, and that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead, you take us out of fallen Adam, and you declare us righteous. You make us alive in Christ. And now, Father, what a wonderful truth that you can use us to help others find this. And also use us as we learn to rightly divide your word and apply your word and help other believers to grow, to be encouraged. And so, just thank you, Father. Thank you. Anything done here today, I pray that it will glorify your Son. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.